Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's consideration is recorded in Paul's letter to the Galatians, the 6th chapter, verses 9 and 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. This is our text. Brothers and sisters in Christ, these words encouraging the eager pursuit of good works evoke the story of Abraham in the Old Testament, who was once visited by God. There he was, Abraham, one day in his tent, and he looked and he saw God in the form of three persons outside of his door. And this is a story, of course, for us today, because remember Jesus said that when you see Jesus in all those who are in need around you, you are doing things unto him. And so in some sense, every day we have Christ out there in that sense. When Abraham saw God, he eagerly ran out to meet him. He brought water to wash his feet, and then he invited them to rest under a shade tree while he prepared what? A morsel of food. Morsel of food, morsel of bread. The text tells us that he went quickly into his tent and he basically organized a small feast. He said to his wife, Sarah, quickly prepare 21 quarts of flour and make it into some cakes. And then he himself ran out, it says, to the farmyard, and he found himself a calf. He butchered it, gave it to one of his men, who, it says, quickly prepared the calf. We've all experienced long, wearisome days when we didn't feel like quickly serving one another. Long hours at work, personal problems, preoccupations, all sorts of things can cut into that sort of eager serving of others. Imagine the American slaves, the way they must have felt. Let us not grow weary, Paul says. They must have grown weary. There they were, spirited away from their homes in Africa, made to be indentured servants where they spent 18 hours under the hot sun, experiencing the blues. In fact, the hot sun was as much a cradle for the blues as anything. And those folk songs were as well. You can imagine them singing out in those fields, Stephen Foster's song. All the world is sad and dreary everywhere I roam. How my heart grows weary, far from the old folks at home. Our text tells us not to grow weary. But our old Adam is dedicated to self-centered resistance against helping our neighbor. It's one thing to grow up weary occasionally, but what about when our life is only self-centered, when we're only thinking about ourselves? Isn't this one of the reasons, or at least one of the messages that comes through in James? People have debated, why doesn't James talk about justification? It seems to deny justification by faith. It's not denying justification by faith at all. What it is denying is it's a special kind of besetting sin which rationalizes faith as a head knowledge, so that like the Levite and the priest, our thoughts pass by action. It's one thing to think things, it's another thing to do them. And that's what James is writing against. Jesus one time said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before men. Remember, not putting it under a bushel, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In Matthew 3:10, Jesus warned Every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. Now, these are words of warning to our old Adam that requires conversion every single day, because we want to not serve other people. Now, when Paul wrote these words today to the Galatian Christians, though, his words had a different tone. Like us, they were believers. They needed encouragement. And so Paul motivated them by the gospel. Now, the chapters preceding this text that you have today, they reminded them that not works of the law, but hearing by faith in Jesus Christ had saved them. Saved them to do good works. The works did not accomplish anything for their salvation, but they were saved to do them. Luther once wrote that, quote, the noblest of all good works is to believe in Jesus Christ. And he was right, because Jesus had said it first. Remember, Jesus had fed the 5,000, and then the crowds chased him around the Sea of Galilee, trying to continually come and bother him for more food. He was the bread king. He escaped by walking out in the Sea of Galilee, and then he got away with his disciples on the other side. But the disciples, these large crowds, found him again. And they asked him then when they found him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus replied, this is the first sermon text that I had in seminary, and it's so telling. What did he say to them? What shall we do that we may work the works of God? His reply, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. But once you believe, then what? And that's what our text about today is about. Don't grow weary in doing good. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all. Now, some read that phrase as if it's saying, keep your eyes open, and then if an opportunity occurs, take advantage of it. But that's not really how it should be read. Rather, it should be read this way. As we have opportunity, let us do good. In other words, every day is a feast of opportunities for us to serve other people, to serve likable and nasty people, the people we don't like as well. And once again, if I may return to Luther's words, and you know, you read six commentaries or seven in a preparation for a sermon like this, and you discover that Luther's the John Stuart of commentaries. He's always got something better to say in a more poignant way, and much more on the target, of course, than John Stuart ever could be, or many commentators. But he one time wrote, and we can appreciate this, it is easy to do good once or twice, but to stay with it and not to be overcome by the ingratitude or malice of those you are helping, this is work and labor. Luther calls the words of our text in verse 9, sweet words of encouragement. Now that's interesting. When you read the scriptures, which words do you pick up on? Because in verse 9, here's how it reads, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Luther essentially cancels out the if we do not lose heart, and he takes heart, because that's what it's all about, taking heart in the gospel. He takes heart because he has the guaranteed hope of everlasting life. That due season that's coming is the season of redemption, when our Lord returns to go and to take us to be with him in heaven. And there we shall reap in the eternal harvest, which Jesus Christ, our Savior, won for us by his life and blood and life. Two lives, the one that he served here, and then the other one, the resurrected life, which has gained the victory for all of us. Therefore, keep vigilant, keep faithful, keep serving your neighbor in good cheer, and you will find many opportunities this very day. Take advantage of them. Force yourself to be that thing, that kind of person that we oftentimes aren't. Yesterday, the Good Samaritan story encouraged us to help the invisible stranger in our lives, the hostile person, maybe the person that we don't see. But today's text enjoins us also to see those Christians who we oftentimes render invisible. Once you see them, they're out of mind. Right? We take them for granted, and we no longer have to help them. But Paul says that especially those that are of the household of faith, fellow believers, we ought to help out. We need to develop eyes to see those people who are in need. So let us follow Paul's example and not grow weary, recalling Isaiah's words, who also had a kind of a quick service kind of a take on things. But he put it in these words, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." Amen. Let us rise for prayer. May we turn to page 169 and together in unison read the prayer for Wednesday morning. Page 169. Unto you, O Heavenly Father, I direct my first thoughts and lift up my heart in prayer that I may live and walk in you alone. Be my fortress this day as you have been my protection through this night, for which I thank you with my whole heart. Watch this day also over my soul and my members. May I also turn to you in true penitence. Cleanse me from all wickedness and uncleanness. May I walk in your fear in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son. And trusting in his precious merits, I give myself to you altogether with all that you have bestowed upon me. Bless me in him with whatever pleases you. Grant me wisdom and strength to perform the duties of the calling in which you have placed me. May your holy angels accompany me and mine in all our ways and help us to walk together in love in the narrow path which leads to your heaven. To this end, help us by your Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord.